A map of the developing brain. The brain is seen first in its completed form, and the process by which it is made becomes visible only later. But as is often the case, what appears late can be what matters more. The recently released Developmental Brain Cell Atlas research is allowing us, for the first time, to look at the brain, something we had long viewed as a finished product, as if it were a construction site in progress. This is not something only neuroscientists should be excited about. It is a starting point that could change the very way we understand conditions such as autism, ADHD, and schizophrenia. An era of tracking when and how thousands of cells are born, where will brain disease research begin again? When we think about the brain, we usually picture it in a completed state first. The regions responsible for memory, the circuits that regulate emotion, the networks that process language, and so on. This approach was, of course, important, and it produced many achievements in practice. But there was a large blank space in it. How those circuits and cells were created in the first place, and in what order they appeared and branched, remained comparatively less visible. Simply put, it is as if we have been looking at a completed city and evaluating it by saying, "The roads are laid out well here, and electricity is supplied well there." But we did not really know how the city was actually built, which construction process came first, or where the design changed. Brain research was similar for a long time. The Developmental Brain Atlas studies, now drawing attention, dig into exactly this point. The key is not simply that they found many kinds of cells. What matters is that they are attempts to track, in chronological order, when cells are born in the developing brain, how they branch into different lineages, and even which molecular signals they turn on and off. In short, they have begun drawing not a map of the finished brain, but a map of the construction process. Why we are moving from maps of the adult brain to maps of the brain being made. To understand why this research matters, we need to look at brain disorders a little differently. Many people remember disorders such as autism, ADHD, and schizophrenia by the point at which symptoms appear, when a child struggles at school, or when symptoms become fully apparent in adolescence or adulthood. But scientists have long suspected something else. Symptoms appear later, but might the beginning lie in a much earlier developmental process? The problem was that there was no map to see that starting point. If we did not know when a given cell appears, and at what branching point it becomes another cell, the starting point of the disorder could only remain blurry. As a result, we have spent a great deal of time looking at outcomes and tracing causes backward. This is where the biggest change brought by the Developmental Brain Atlas begins. The question can now change. Which gene is the problem? To when, in which cell lineage, and at which transition moment does that gene cause a problem? That is the direction of the shift. This difference is bigger than it sounds. Even with the same genetic abnormality, the result can be completely different depending on whether it causes problems in early development, goes off track in an intermediate stage, or operates only in a specific cell lineage. Not a single paper, but the work of layering multiple maps together. There is one important point in understanding this achievement. It is closer not to a single genius team finishing a single discovery at once, but to multiple research teams each creating different pieces of a map and then layering them together. Some studies examine the development of the human cerebral cortex. Some studies examine specific brain regions in mice. Some studies look at where cells are positioned in space. Some studies examine how cell lineages continue. On the surface, they may look unrelated, but as a whole they converge in the same direction. The goal is to understand cell diversity and differentiation pathways in the developing brain at higher resolution. What makes this interesting is that while earlier cell maps were strong at showing, like an illustrated catalog, these kinds of cells exist, this new wave is more like a documentary that shows this cell changes in this way. It feels like moving from the stage of attaching name tags to the stage of tracking life histories. A key scene, capturing the moment when progenitor cells change what they will produce. One of the studies being discussed as especially symbolic this time is work that tracked cell lineages in the developing human cerebral cortex. What makes this study interesting is that it did not simply classify cells. Rather, it more directly showed when progenitor cells, simply put, seed cells that will grow into various nerve cells, produce what kinds of cells. An analogy would be this. Suppose we are looking at a forest. In the past, we would have looked at fully grown trees and divided them into pine, oak, maple. This time, the approach is closer to following more accurately what kind of tree a sapling will become at the sapling stage. A particularly important point is the timing at which the output of progenitor cells changes. A transition is captured in which they first mainly produce one kind of neuron, but after a certain point begin producing more of another kind of neuron. This shows clearly that the brain does not exist from the beginning as a complex finished product, but is assembled in order according to a timetable. In other words, the complexity of the brain cannot be properly understood if it ends at there are many kinds. It must also include timing matters. Even the same cell, if produced too early or too late, can alter the balance of the entire circuit. This point is precisely the key point where the work connects to research on developmental disorders. Why this is truly a major achievement. In science news, the expression, "a map was made," appears often, but maps that actually change the research method itself are rare. There are three main reasons this developmental brain atlas research is being evaluated as a major achievement. First, it has begun to view a difficult target such as the developing human brain more precisely and more three-dimensionally. Second, it has created a foundation for seeing commonalities and differences together by comparing human and animal data. Third, it has made the bridge linking basic neuroscience and disease research much more solid. Put simply, if before the tracking was at the level of the cause of this brain disorder is probably around here, it is now moving toward a direction where much more specific questions become possible, such as there is a high possibility that this transition in this cell lineage at this developmental stage was disrupted. This does not mean a treatment will come out tomorrow. But to make good treatments, we first need to know where to look. In that sense, this achievement is closer not to a finished product, but to laying down a precise road network on which countless future studies will be built. The questions of disease research are changing, from what broke down to where did it take the wrong turn? Until now, many disease studies have taken the approach of looking at the adult brain or the state after symptoms appear and asking, what changed? This approach still matters. But as developmental maps become more precise, earlier questions become possible. From when did it become different? In which cell lineage did it branch off? Which transition point in normal development did it depart from? This is similar to changing when a car breaks down from looking at the engine is acting strange now to looking at which step in the assembly line did the problem occur? If the latter becomes possible, repair changes, prevention changes, and quality control changes. Brain disease research is similar. If we can learn more accurately at which moment in the developmental stage the problem begins, the timing of diagnosis may change, and the direction of targeted treatment may also change. Beyond that, the possibility grows that new interpretations may emerge, such as, this disorder is connected to a developmental event at a much earlier stage than previously thought. Good news and a difficult assignment. The map exists, but the competition over interpretation starts now. Of course, having a map does not solve every problem. Rather, a new assignment begins. Seeing a lot of data and reading it well are different things. Questions such as how far cells should be considered the same type, how developmental stages should be divided, and how far slightly different developmental pathways among individuals should be grouped into a common pattern may continue to be debated. Given the nature of developmental human brain research, limitations of samples and representativeness will not disappear easily either. That does not reduce the significance. Quite the opposite. Once a real map appears, the next competition begins, drawing boundaries more accurately and aligning coordinates more precisely. Developmental brain research now appears to have entered exactly that stage. In the past, the frustration came from, there is no big picture. Now, we can think about where to dig in first on top of the big picture. That is a clear advance. Outlook ahead. Developmental brain maps will go beyond a data collection and become a research strategy board. Going forward, these developmental brain atlases are likely to function not simply as collections of data and papers, but as strategy boards for neuroscience and biomedical research. Judgments such as which disorder should be examined at which developmental stage, which cell lineage should be prioritized as a target, and which animal model most closely resembles which part of human development will increasingly be made on top of this map. From the public's point of view, there is also a clear reason to find this research interesting. Knowing more about the brain does not end with a vague sense of wonder that the brain is mysterious. It can lead in the direction of finding the causes of disorders earlier and responding more intelligently in practice. It may not be news that changes hospitals immediately, but it could be news that changes the coordinate system from which future diagnostic and treatment research begins. In summary, the question raised by this developmental brain atlas achievement is not how many more cells were found. It is, how far have we now become able to read the order and branching points by which the brain is made? Neuroscience has made major advances for a long time in understanding the functions of the completed brain. The next stage is to understand the order of the brain as it is being made. The precise map of the developing brain stands at the starting line of that transition. It appeared quietly, but once it takes hold, it is a result with the potential to change the direction of research for a long time.